or two more beeps, we could get started. Hey, Elise, good morning. Do you know if Kelly Reese is planning on calling in?
Hey, Fenton, this is Kelly. I was one of the late beeps.
Oh,
sorry.
You're one of the beeps. Okay, good. So the only other, we're missing BPA, but we do have Josh and Molly, BPA contractor representatives, on. And I don't see Mike Hudson on us yet, or Lawrence from the tribe. But we have NIMS and ODFW, a bunch of core folks, and BPA.
Hello, Fenton.
Good morning. Who just joined? Well, we'll do roll call here in a second. So, Aaron, good morning. Are you ready for notes?
I'm all ready. Go ahead. I have the recorder going.
Thank you. We can't start the meeting without Aaron. Well, let's go ahead and get started. It's 10:02, and people who are joining can catch up with us in a little bit. So good morning. This is October, and we are at our monthly FedWig meeting. I can't believe it's another fiscal year for federal employees. We're just starting a new fiscal year, so Happy New Year. And, well, that was a couple days ago. And, you know, come the new year, comes with all kinds of changes, this, that, and the other. But here we are, still working from home, still teleworking, and me still haven't made any cookies yet since February. So there you go. Let's start with introductions and who's on the phone, and we'll start with the agency folks first. So NIMS, Noah, folks?
Yeah, Melissa Gent is here.
Okay, hi, Melissa. I see Anne signed in, but I don't know if she has her audio on. But I see her name signed in.
Yeah.
And are you with us?
Just so you know, Fenton, there were some funny NOAA issues with some removal of the video or the actual phone connection for WebEx for some reason, and I had to contact IT, so possible she's struggling with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I see Anne signed in, so maybe she's hearing us. I just sent her a note privately. Let's go down, though. So, ODFW, who do we have?
Hi, Fenton. It's Elise.
This is Kelly.
Kelly.
Joel.
And Joel. All right. BPA.
This is Dan's group. Good morning.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Josh Moroskis is here, and same with Molly.
Yeah, and Josh and Molly.
And Mark's here, too.
And Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey.
James is in Yuma. He sent me a text yesterday. It's 110 degrees in Yuma. I told him it sucks to be him. I was talking to Mark about James Hughes. Lawrence, Tribe. Lawrence, are you there?
I'm here, Fenton. Good morning.
Hi, Lawrence. And you have Fish and Wildlife. Mike, are you there? Okay. Sometimes Mike calls in late because he plays double. He plays like triple or quadruple duties on all these meetings. All right, let's go with the core folks, and we'll start with the Valley. Who all is from the Valley? Portland District. We've got me, Fenton McCon.
Brent Wilson.
Brent.
Sherry Dunlop.
Sherry.
Hey, Shanker.
Eve.
Hey, Stoner.
Jeff Hick.
Hey,
I heard a few more beeps. Who just joined us?
Ann Mullen.
Oh, hey, Ann. Welcome. I saw your name there, but we couldn't hear if you were on. Melissa said NIMS were having some problems with audio, so glad that you could be here.
Yeah, I realized I need to call in. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Did you see my message to you that we couldn't hear you?
No, I missed that. Sorry.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. And I started the meeting late to the F10 instead of 9:30 because some of us core folks had another meeting, an internal meeting before, and we do have a short agenda. So we'll get through the agenda rather quickly, but we'll start with finalizing the meeting notes from our September meeting. And I sent those out to the folks, and I didn't get any comments or edits. So can we go ahead and finalize the September meeting notes? Did folks have time to look them over and make any comments? Anybody? Are we good then? Can we go ahead and finalize the September meeting notes? All right, I'm going to take silence as a yes. Did we have somebody join us here a minute ago, or did we lose somebody?
John Rarisich, good morning.
Okay, morning, John.
I'm here also, Chris
Budai. Chris, I saw your note. Chris is here. Chris Budai.
And Jeremy Romer with ODFW.
Oh, hey, Jeremy. Glad you can join us. Yeah, I know Aaron usually scans the participants list and get names, but I like to verify, especially for our external partners, to make sure we get everybody. Internally, we can generally figure that out. Good deal. So I didn't hear any responses or any requests for more time for the September meeting notes. So we'll go ahead and finalize those so we can get those put to bed. And then our agenda today is going to be pretty light. It's really going to be updates for these PDTs, and then the Foster Fish Ladder Improvements PDT would like a discussion on the juvenile screen. I know they started some discussion with Melissa Nims earlier or last week. And so we'll have some discussion on that. And then what I'd like to do before we close the meeting is going forward, discuss the frequency of having our monthly meetings. Now that a lot of our PDTs will be in a deactive mode. So let's go through updates first, and then we'll talk about the path forward. And so Jeff Hicks is on, and Jeff Hicks is the PM for Fall Creek, Cougar 2.0, and Detroit Temperature Control and DSB. So Jeff, let's go ahead and get some updates from you, starting with Fall Creek, please.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. So Fall Creek, we're getting ready for our third season of pipelining. Contractors submitted their work plans. We've reviewed their work plans, provided comments back. We're working through our special operations request that's out for approval right now, and contractors anticipating to mobilize down on site in the next 2 weeks. Looking to go out there, remove those pipe spools at the top of the fish horns. That's kind of the pinch point that we encountered last year, so they're bringing out a mechanical subcontractor to remove those, thus allowing us to put their ROV into the pipe, all three of those, the lower fish horn, and hopefully be a successful pipe coating those pipes this year. And so that in-water work window will go from here in October when they mobilize on site to the end of January. And we're thinking this is going to be our last year out there doing the pipelining from the intakes down at the bottom of the upstream section of the dam to each of those fish horns. And that's about it I've got for Fall Creek, Fenton.
Thank you. Any questions from the group on all the goings-on at Fall Creek and what Jeff just updated us on? All right, no questions, Jeff, so let's go on to Cougar 2.0, please.
Great. Yeah, so Cougar 2.0, a lot of this summer we were trying to work with Tetra Tech to modify our contract, bringing three alternatives forward into the 90% report. And so we did modify that contract. We have been working with Tetra Tech. Tetra Tech is working the 90% submittal, and we'll be providing that to the Corps at the end of this month. And that'll kick off our review. Then we'll pass it to BPA, and then we'll pass it to the agencies, typical, similar to what we did during the 50% design, or yeah, review. With that, then we'll provide those comments back. Tetra Tech will be working through February to hopefully wrap up this EDR for Cougar 2.0. The other piece of this is the FLAC modeling effort. So with some of these changes in operations, our dam safety experts have said, hey, we need to look at how the dam will perform under any of these new operational changes. And so we're doing a FLAC model, which is a, what's the right word? It's a 3D mesh that they're going to generate down in Sacramento District, and they're going to be running different reservoir elevations, similar to what we found in our ResSim modeling, and they're going to be running those scenarios through a computational analysis to see if we have more settlement in the dam, if we have cracking in the core, and what potential dam safety issues could arise from any of these changes in operations. And so that'll be incorporated into the 100% report. It won't be documented in the 90, but we are working through that as a concurrent effort with this EDR, so we can have an appendix within Cougar 2.0 that says, hey, this is how we anticipate the dam to perform for flood protection if we were to go with any of these new operational measures to pass fish downstream. Other than that, just continue to work with Tetra Tech to put together this EDR and have a good workable product by the end of this. Any questions on Cougar 2.0?
Thank you, Jeff. Before we get to the questions, I heard somebody already had one. Can you remind us again when the next report will be ready for federation review, for agency review? I know you just said it, but can you just let me know again so I make sure I have the date right?
Yeah, I might have to double-check exactly the date on my schedule sentence, but I believe it should be somewhere in the November time frame.
I don't need the exact date. We just kind of want to have, so November is in next month, then like towards the end of the month or beginning of the month?
Yeah, middle end of the month.
Okay, so maybe like early beginning of December then.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we'll open it up for questions, and I heard somebody had a question.
This is Dan Spear. I have a question if nobody else wants to go first.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, could you just repeat what the timing was for both the EDR that Tetra Tech is doing, and then also it sounds like there's the in-house dam safety analysis. Can you just repeat what the timelines of both of those two processes are?
Yeah, we anticipate to have both of them done and wrapped up together by the end of February, beginning of March. And so Tetra Tech should have their EDR completed by, I believe it's, February 23rd, and we're on that same similar timeline for the FLAC modeling effort down in Sacramento District. And so that FLAC modeling will be incorporated as an appendix to the EDR. And so that's why we might have just a couple more weeks at the end of that EDR from Tetra Tech that we incorporate those results from the FLAC modeling as an appendix.
Okay, so it sounds like the FLAC modeling won't surface itself until February, March of next year, and so it won't. There won't be an update on that with the 90% that's going to appear in November.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I thought I heard somebody else was about to ask a question.
This is Ann. That was me.
Okay. Yeah.
And first, I was just trying to understand the name of the modeling effort in Sacramento. It sounds like it's an acronym, FLAC, or?
Yeah, FLAC, and I can pull up what that exactly means for you.
Okay, or we can just get it in the notes if you want. And then if you could quickly say which three are the alternatives going forward. And then I have a last question about measurements that might have been used for that modeling from past drawdowns, if they had any any actual data from drawdowns that occurred for the temperature control tower construction or for repairs.
Can you repeat, or let me answer that first question for you. So the three alternatives that are moving forward into the 90% EDR are the diversion tunnel at 1290 and the existing RO as alternative number two. The modified penstock and the diversion tunnel as a secondary outlet and using reservoir elevation at 1420. And the third is the diversion tunnel at 1340 and the existing RO as a secondary outlet. And so each of these are much lower than our existing operations. And those are the three scenarios that we want to look at in the FLAC modeling effort as well. And then can you repeat that second part of your question, Ann?
Sure, thank you. I think I need to clarify also. So the diversion tunnel with the existing RO is one of the models, one of the alternatives, and then modified penstock with diversion tunnel, and then diversion tunnel 1340 and RO. So two different diversion tunnel elevations. Did I get that right for the three? Okay, thanks. And then my next question was, given that there's been drawdowns in the past during construction of the temperature control tower, and for repairs, were there any opportunities for data to be collected that are useful for that modeling for safety?
We looked at those, but it's the cyclic loading of the operations going down, continually wetting and then drying the core out that we don't know about. And that's what we were really looking for in this this FLAC modeling is the continuing cyclic loading, wetting, drying the core. How does that affect our abutments? How does that affect our core? How does that just affect the long-term performance of this over the next 50 years? And so that's kind of what that effort's going to look like, not at just a one-season or two-season drawdown where we maintain that low reservoir elevation, but in the event of flood risk mitigation, we have some higher inflows that we can't pass, and this is going to be a continuing occurrence every year, most likely, that we won't have, or there'll be periods where we can't pass all the water through either of the penstock, the diversion tunnel, or the combination. So we're looking at what this looks like year after year as opposed to just for a shorter duration.
Okay, so that'll be using that resin data, like you said, that shows the exceedance probabilities of some of those events?
Right.
Because it seems like it's the capacity of the penstock or the diversion tunnel that would be crucial here in the secondary aspects of what would be left if those two were overwhelmed by flows and then rise off.
Yeah, and we're working through those details with Tetra Tech now on, hey, so when can we use the diversion tunnel? How much flow can we get out of it? And, you know, once we get to the modified penstock and diversion tunnel alternative, the modified penstock only will have a range of operations. And so once you're over that range of operations, we start having hydraulic flows that are potentially dangerous for the fish, and we have to go back to under the diversion tunnel and use that as our outlet. So it's just some of those nuances on how does this really look when you're operating, how do we really maintain these elevations, and at certain inflows, we'll have to kick to the secondary outlets, and how does that actually look in reality?
Sounds complex. Thanks for the further details.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Any other questions for Jeff on Cougar 2.0? All right, Jeff, next up is you again for Detroit.
Yeah, so Detroit temperature control and downstream fish passage. We've been working with Tetra Tech we've been working with ERDC to do a physical model of the stilling basin, the penstocks and the bifurcation coming from those penstocks, and how we dissipate energy in the stilling basin at Detroit. And so that was been the big effort working through 2020 or FY20. We previously had a initial draft scope of work from ERDC. They worked a new workflow, and so what they intended to do with this new workflow is not accept any projects into the queue until we had all of our model drawings completed, signed off by ERDC, and then they'd provide us with an updated scope of work. And so they implemented this during the summer. We unfortunately got caught on the back end of this, and so as we worked through our model drawings, I guess both good and bad things happen is we did get an updated scope of work from ERDC at the end of the FY. That updated scope of work, and I guess this new workflow has put more rigor into their scope of work, and so that cost estimate for the physical model came in $500,000 more than originally estimated. With all of the funding restrictions that we currently have for Cougar in Detroit, it caused us to not have sufficient funding to complete the physical model at ERDC. And so we pulled the plug on it. We'll continue to state capabilities in the presidential budget cycle, and we'll try to get this money coming back. But we've pulled the plug on the physical model, and we will now be wrapping up the NEPA EIS pieces for Detroit and rolling that into the Willamette Valley System EIS. And so that's going to be the only little last effort we have for Detroit this year, is wrapping up some of that NEPA, having some of those comments incorporated from that public comments and IEPR, and get that rolled up and on the shelves. Are there any questions?
Sorry, I had a question. This is Elise with ODFW. So without the physical model, what does that mean in terms of operations for the temperature tower or other functionality? Like, it just means your list of uncertainties is much longer, and then how would you deal with those?
Yeah, so this is kind of the long pole of the tent when we're working through our DDR and our design here. And so we need to validate that our design downstream, once we pass fish or pass water, through the temperature control tower and using this option of using the penstock, that we can dissipate that energy and not cause erosion damage to our sealing basin. And so we need to validate our critical design consumption assumptions and hydraulic assumptions that we were using before we can complete the design for the temperature control tower. And so we're, with all of these funding restrictions, we only could use old prior FY money, and currently we're out of that. And so we're working through the budget process to list our capabilities, say, hey, we're ready to do this, but it really comes down to getting that appropriation in the budget from either Congress or OMB removing some of these restrictions where we can shuffle some money around.
Yeah, in Westpac, right? Yeah, it used to be downtown.
Okay, so it's not appropriate to say that the process is mothballed at this point, but it's definitely stalled at this point, other than kind of wrapping up the EIS and NEPA, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Hey, folks, before we go to the next question or another discussion, I hear folks, there's some background noise on some of your mics, so if you're not speaking, please mute your phones. I think I can go through and mute everybody here, but I'd appreciate it if you mute your phones and then unmute it when you're ready to speak, because it is a little bit disturbing, and especially for folks that are taking notes. So, Elise, thanks for that question. And then just to clarify, we've been talking about these projects going, quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, say inactive because of lack of funding in FY21. And Detroit is one of them, as Jeff mentioned. So Elise, I understand your question, but no more design work will continue in FY21 for Detroit until new funding, you know, comes to the top, until Congress or OMB or somebody, as Jeff mentioned, they're requesting money and work plans for FY, you know, 22 and beyond. Whether the PDT gets the funding or not is a different story. So all design work is going to be stopped or is already stopped. The last bit of the puzzle is they had some money, the PDT had some money to use for the physical model at ERDC, but then as Jeff said, ERDC came in at a way higher price, and it wasn't just a small fraction, it was way higher, and there was no money to support it. So that got put on hold. And now the PDT is going to wrap up the EIS and then just kind of sit in the holding pattern until funds become available. So no other design work is going forward. Once they get funding again, then they'll figure out all the pieces of the puzzle.
Did that help make sense, or did I make things even more confusing?
No, it's all clear. Thanks very much, Ben.
Yeah. So any other questions for Jeff on Detroit and the path forward, or any other questions from what Jeff just reported on? Over.
Yeah, this is Ann. I do have a question about that. If there's no further design work, are there any questions that were not answered that will hold up final EIS work? Because it seems like the more you know there, the better that goes too. And just wondering about that, because if that's being wrapped into the larger EIS, then the funds for that aren't being used too. And then the funds that were going to go to ERDC aren't being used from, I guess, FY20? Or would that have been 21?
Yeah, let's not get into funding discussion in this meeting. We funding discussion is always at steering team level. We don't discuss funding at technical and design type meetings. We're not in the budget office. You know, that's the Ian Chan
okay.
and the program
yeah,
manager.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I guess are there questions that would have informed the EIS that won't be answered because of this?
I think we've got all of them. I don't think there's going to be any issues with wrapping up the EIS at this time. I think we've got all of our public comments ready for incorporation and IEPR comments ready for incorporation. So I don't anticipate too many, or I don't remember seeing any questions that are too far down in the weeds that would change, at least at this time.
Yeah, and the physical model was the tests, the flows and the hydraulics and so on. So I think that's not going to hold up the EIS. Any other questions from folks before we move on? Okay. Well, the next one up is Hi-Hat Bypass, and as most of you are aware, we've been talking about this all summer, is at the end of September, our Hi-Hat Bypass PDT, the funding ran out, and there was no funding in FY21 to continue any design work for Hi-Hat Bypass. I did send out our final DDR document to you all, to the group. That's for your file, and so just hang on to that. And our Hi-Hat Bypass is now considered inactive until, I guess, we get funding again in some future year. All of these projects are in work plans that are submitted to headquarters, that are eventually submitted to the President's Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and Congress, and then they're the ones that decide what gets funded and don't get funded. So for FY21, we don't have any funding in Hi-Hat Bypass. And so the PDT is going to be on the back burner. We are able to continue with the RM&E study, the fish, test infected fish and healthy fish, testing for stress and survival in the bypass pipe and truck transport. That was already funded, and the studies actually will start next week in the field. We're going to start a test. But as far as any kind of design work, that's all going to be on the back burner now. And as I mentioned, I did send the final DDR report out to you all last week. So no more updates on Hi-Hat Bypass. I will update the RM&E team on the results of the studies as we start getting those in. Any questions, thoughts, comments on Hi-Hat Bypass? Okay, Foster, Fish Weir. I'm going to change everything I just said for Hi-Hat Bypass to Foster, Fish Weir, because I'm going to sound like a broken record. But as we've been telling you all summer, this project also is now inactive because of lack of funding. So we were not able to develop a design that we believe will work to improve the fish weir. It was coming in very costly, and then we ran out of money to continue exploring other ideas. And so we don't have any funding in FY21. So the Foster Fish Weir PDT is also on hiatus.
and I sent out the final EDR to you all last week, along with the hydraulic modeling as an appendix. I know some folks, especially NIMS, Melissa, was interested in the CFD modeling results. So that's in the report as an appendix. And we will wait, the PDT will wait until funding becomes available to continue exploring ideas for downstream fish passage. But in the meantime, we wouldn't be doing any more design work. And instead, we have an interim nighttime still operation planned for spring and fall months during out-migration seasons when fish are passing the dam. We're going to operate a spillway at night for fish passage in lieu of the fish weir. And we're going to continue doing that operation at least for the next year or two, or until we're told otherwise by management. So, any questions on the fish weir, PDT, or the improvements? Hearing none, we're going to move on to Cougar, downstream fish passage, the FSS. And I see Chris Bedai is on, Brent is on. I know some of the folks were not able to join us. But Chris, yeah, do you want to give us a quick update on Cougar FSS?
Sure, no problem. Eric is on vacation right now, so I'll fill in for her. The project, the good news is that funding has been made available for FY21, and that funding is to be used for the PDT to complete the 90% plans and specs package. And what that means is the team now, I believe we have all the comments from folks at Fitterwick, and so they'll be going through your comments and addressing those and revising the plans and specs and DDR accordingly. And so wrapping up that package by addressing all the comments. And also the funding was provided so we can go through what's called, we're calling it a theory of operation plan, kind of stepwise walk through how we envision the FSS working and making sure we haven't missed anything to make sure it is a feasible concept. Funding does not cover any design work on the two items that were identified late in the design process, the RO bypass gate and the blowout power rejection issues. There's just not enough funding for the team to devote time to resolve those issues. They have been identified. They'll be documented in the DDR, and that they need to be addressed when the project is funded for construction sometime in the future, that those are the first things that need to be addressed. But we will not be able to work on any design for those two items in FY21. Any questions?
Yeah, this is Ann. Do you see a future date where the results of the study that's continuing this year for high head bypass could inform a future update to this design before it goes somewhere like towards funding or contracting, since it's on hold?
Yeah, it's just on hold, and the FSS is being designed to accommodate the pipes at the back end of the FSS, if that's the design they go with for the high head bypass. But those, that's not funded and would have to be determined at the time, you know, a solution is found for high head bypass. Did that answer your question? Or?
Yeah, it does. It just came to mind when you mentioned the idea of the kind of stepwise walkthrough of how it would be working. That seems like another place where not having those answers makes that, you know, follow one path when a different path may result in the long run. So I guess if that walkthrough perceived an alternative, it would be more helpful. Perceive two possible alternatives, you know, what you've got now and then what you would do if you had to high head bypass.
So the theory of operation is basically to verify, validate the design of the FSS. It's totally focused on how the FSS is supposed to function and make sure we've designed everything to make it function properly. So it's kind of an isolated theory of operation. It's not the bigger picture, I think, that you're talking about.
So if a high-head bypass came back in as an alternative in the future, then that theory of operation would be redone, basically?
I think the portion, what we're going to do is make sure the FSS is going to operate the way we have designed it to operate. And so my understanding with high-head bypass is, you know, if you connect pipes to the back end, you know, you would probably want to then do another exercise like the theory of operation, but it would pick up where the last one left off, right? Where the change occurs at the back end, you would start there and then take it through the rest of the system.
Yeah, that helps. Sorry, Chris. Did you finish your thought, Chris?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
And so, we still need the FSS, we meaning the high-head bypass team, to collect the fish. And so what Chris was saying is what they're doing is making sure the FSS is working as designed to collect the fish. And then if at some point down the road management made decisions to change paths from transport the fish to bypass, then our high-head bypass team would do the connections, would start with the connections at the back of the FSS with the pipe design. So it's kind of a twofold, but Chris's PDT still needs to make sure that the FSS will work as a function to collect fish. And then the high-head bypass would incorporate connecting, I'm saying this, making it sound simple, but it's not, connecting the pipes at the back of the FSS to pass the fish. Did that make sense?
And to build on that, it's not just connecting the pipes. There will be some changes in the back end of the FSS in order to feed to the pipes. So that's where we would start with a new theory of operation, if you will, if we go to high-head bypass.
Right, yes. And that's why I said I was simply making it sound simple, like we're just going to connect a pipe, but there's more to it. But we didn't want to lose touch with, we still need to make sure the FSS is working as designed to collect the fish. Because if we're not collecting the fish, then everything else is a moot point.
That makes sense.
Did that make sense, Anne?
Yeah, I mean, I can see there's the front end, and that's huge, and there's a lot of steps into that. And then as you get to the point where you are potentially making a choice of transport or to bypass, what Chris said helped, that would be a possible theory of operation for that half of the whole collector. Like whether it's feeding a transport system or whether it's feeding a bypass would be
right.
A separate theory of operation than whether it's collecting.
Right. Whether the fish are going into the pods for transport or going straight into a pipe. And again, that once, you know, when we get funding and start back up, we'll have to hash out those details. But the lack of funding, everything is at a standstill. Any other questions, thoughts, comments for Chris on Cougar? So Chris, we did get comments back on the 90% plans and specs, and thanks to the agencies, to you all for the review and comments. I always say this, representing all of the PDTs, as the FIDWIC chair, we do appreciate your time. We realize that these reports are additional work to your regular workload and having to spend the time to review them and provide comments, but your comments are much appreciative and very valuable to making the next steps in the design process go smoothly or maybe something that we might have overlooked. So thank you for that. So Chris, you guys are going to finished up the 90% and then, for a lack of a better term, put it on the shelf, correct?
Correct, that's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we'll also be putting together a memo that documents where we left off and what needs to be done if you pick it up again.
Good. All right, well, any other questions for Chris, for Cougar FSS? Hearing none, we're going to move on to foster ladder improvements, and Chris is also the PM for that team, and Shari is the TL. I know we've got Steve Schlenker on. So, Chris and Shari, I'll hand it over to you guys, and I know one of the, aside from updates, one of the items you'd like to discuss is the juvenile fish screen. So I'm going to hand it over to you guys. And Shari, I don't know if you have, is there anything to show? Do I need to hand over the screen?
No.
Or is this just a discussion?
This is just a discussion. It's okay. An update. Before you get started, Shari, I just want to, again, like to thank the Fittewig, because we did receive comments also. This project is at the DDR phase, 60%. And I believe we received all your comments, and so the team will be addressing those comments. And one of the issues that the team had planned to address between the 60 and 90% DDR was this issue of the intake screen. And that's what Shari is going to pick up the discussion on, the juvenile fish screen, because there have been some sidebar conversations with nymphs, and so we want to bring the whole Fittewig up to speed on what was discussed and where we think we're headed with the 90% package. So go ahead, take over there, Shari.
All right. Well, I think gratitude was the recurring theme here, because that's how I was going to start as well. I did want to say thanks to everybody who's given us feedback on that 60% design. Comments are really helpful, and we are considering them and incorporating them as we can. I guess to jump in, as far as global update, we are still working the entire project toward our 90% DDR with our anticipated internal review starting in late November. So that's still tracking. But I did want to talk specifically about the juvenile exclusion screen out at the front of the system. And as you may recall, when we presented the 60% DDR overview to you at a previous meeting, we noted that we were facing some pretty big structural, operational, and maintenance hurdles with the fish exclusion screen that was shown in that 60% report. It was projecting some 50 feet off of the dam, and in order to construct that, we were foreseeing some pretty serious challenges. And then with the maintenance, the fact that the end of the screen was further out than our crane could reach, and all sorts of things were coming up as we started to look at it. So we knew we were going to be revisiting that. And as we started looking into, you know, the question a little bit more, with a bit more focus, we started to question whether nymph bypass criteria truly applied to an exclusion screen in a reservoir, because one of our issues is we've been trying to keep that screen, you know, angled out, giving us that large triangular structure, and trying to compensate for the lack of sweeping flow, which was made worse once we realized that we probably wouldn't have a juvenile bypass system that we could rely on to provide flow and an outlet for debris. So last Wednesday, we were able to have a conversation with Melissa about, you know, just how to apply those NIMS criteria. And her feedback was that, you know, in our situation where we're not actually doing juvenile bypass, we're just trying to keep them out of our pipe, there is basically that angled flow criterion and the criterion for sweeping flow to substantially exceed the approach velocity would not need to apply. And that, but she did also caution that in that situation, we would have to keep our approach flow velocity much, much less than the active screen criterion velocity. So based on that discussion, it opens up the possibility that we can align our screen parallel to the dam instead of canted off, which lets us swing the whole structure in closer to the dam, much less cantilever. We still need to rerun the structural analysis to see if it's feasible, but it certainly is a great help to the design to have that clarification.
We are targeting an approach flow velocity of about 0.25 feet per second, plus or minus a couple hundredths of a foot. And I guess the other thing that is potentially a big change was, as we thought about the lack of consistent flow through a spillway-oriented outlet, we started to question just how effective sweeping debris to the spillway side of the screen would be if there's nowhere for it to go. And, you know, is it just going to get blown around by wind and continually redeposited on our screen if we can't flush it downstream through a weir or through the spillway? And so at the moment, we are, based on those two things, looking at a screen that is parallel to the dam face in plan view, probably canted at some angle, fairly mild angle, toward the dam in the vertical direction, and using either a traveling screen or a vertically operated brush to lift the debris up to the road deck level so that we can handle and remove it at road deck and just get it out of the reservoir so we don't, to kind of compensate for the fact that we don't have a place to flush it to. Our intent is to present that in the 90% DDR, but I wanted to give that update to this team and hear if there are any immediate thoughts or feedback or cautionary tales that we should be aware of as we chase this down. So I'll open it up for questions and discussion.
Thanks for that overview, Sherry. So as Sherry just said, that was quite a bit of information. Any questions, discussions, thoughts, comments? Silence.
Melissa, I appreciate the summary. Thank you. I also did track down a second alternative, well, a second example of the application of the vertical brush screen, so I'll send that over.
That would be awesome. And yes, I told Melissa that was probably the most helpful 15 minutes of my week last week, that conversation. So I really do appreciate the working relationship that this body has.
Those photos were very helpful, too.
I have a drawing and a couple more pictures from another project, but I appreciated the call, too. It was a big call.
Okay. Good deal. Well, and then as Sherry said, this information will be in the next version of the report, which is the PDT is working on the 90%. And so, Sherry, when can the FIDAWAY expect the 90% for review?
Just I think we're targeting getting the 90% out to this group in January of 2021, just because we're going to go into our internal review process in late November, and that's just a really tough time to move a lot of things forward, and nobody really wants to receive something to review on like December 24th or January 30th or December 30th. So I'm really thinking it's going to be the beginning of January 2021.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, once we hit Thanksgiving, it's, you know, there's a lot of holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that. So just for planning, we'll just plan on January, sometime in January for the 90%.
And certainly I can give another verbal update as we move this forward, you know, in a month from now, if we have another meeting like this, you know, if we find that, you know, structurally we're still facing challenges and we've tweaked it some more, I can definitely keep you guys all informed. And if I know ODFW has lots of insight on screen cleaners, so if there's something you think of in the meantime that we should be aware of, definitely don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, Joel, we're talking directly at you. we would appreciate any input that you have. I know Ken in the past, Laughing, had provided some input on screens and cleaning criteria, so if you guys have any information, please don't hesitate to send it to us. We'd appreciate it.
Certainly, and I do support the direction this is going.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, as long as you're planning to deal with the debris, which you will have, and you are, you know, I think that's a good approach.
Good deal. All right. Well, we are close to the end of our agenda, but before I get to the last item here, are there any other questions for the Foster PDT team or anything else, any of the other updates that we've gone through? All right, hearing none. I have this next bullet here to talk to you all about, and this is really for our external partners, agencies, and the only one that we don't have is representative from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Mike Hudson. But what I'd like to talk about is the frequency of our regular scheduled meetings, knowing now that really we don't have a lot going on with these design teams, PDTs. Most of them, let's see, Hi-Head Bypass, Detroit, Cougar, and Foster Fish Weir. That's four design teams that are going to be on hiatus or inactive, at least for the near future. And so we've got Fall Creek, but the updates are really the ongoing follow-on construction work, like the lining of the tunnel and pipe and some other things. Cougar 2.0 is wrapping up their report. And then you just heard Foster Fish Ladder. They're working on the 90% DDR, which is not due until about January. So I want to be respectful of people's time and how we use our time, because, you know, we're all busy with everything else we have going on. And then, you know, those of you with children at home who's trying to do homeschooling and all that and juggling all these different things. So I'd rather not have a meeting if we don't have a lot to talk about. And I know last year, well, earlier this year, I say last year because we're in a new government year, we had talked about when we don't have a lot to discuss, in lieu of having an actual meeting, I can send an email update with updates from the different PDTs. And so what I'm proposing is we skip our monthly meetings if we don't have anything to discuss. And I can send an update, an email update, and even if we don't have anything, we can stay in touch and say we don't have anything to report. And then when it's time for a specific report review, for example, the Cougar 2.0 will have their next version of a report review in December. So maybe the December, we'll have a December FITRIG meeting, and then the Cougar 2.0 can do the prelude of the report where they kind of give an overview and this is what to expect in the report and have a bit of a Q&A. And then maybe in January, we can have the Foster Fish Ladder. We'll have a FITWIG meeting and the Foster Fish Ladder could do the same thing where they do a preview of the report in preparation for the review. But I'm proposing that, for example, the November meeting, we really don't have anything to talk about unless something drastically changes in the next month. So I'm proposing, like, say, canceling the November meeting. We'll have the December meeting unless the Cougar 2.0 needs more time to finish up the report. We'll most likely have a January meeting after the holidays, so the Foster Fish Ladder could discuss theirs. And then, you know, we'll see where we are in March. So I'm proposing that we cancel some of these meetings. But what I'd like to do is you leave it on your calendar. I'll send the cancellation by month. So the other months are still in your calendar, so we don't schedule other meetings. And so I think we'll have to play this by ear. And right now it's looking like we can go ahead and agree to cancel the November meeting because we really wouldn't have anything to talk about unless something changes. Have the December meeting to talk about Cougar 2.0 if they're on track. Have the January meeting to talk about the Foster Fish Ladder, 90% DDR if that's on track. And then we'll see what we have to talk about in February or March and see if we need to keep those meetings. It's more like having these meetings as an ad hoc basis or as needed basis than having it every month. But this is we're a group, we're a team, and really for the external partners, I'd like to hear your thoughts and see if we're all on the same page with this idea. So I'll start with, and we'll go down by, just to make sure we get this captured in the notes of an agreement, we'll go down this list with external partners, and we'll start with them. Ann and Melissa, do you guys have any thoughts or comments, or do you agree to my proposal on our meeting schedule? Over.
I think for now it sounds like a good idea, Fenton. If there's anything that comes up because of interim actions interacting with design or anything gets sort of unmothballed, then we might reconsider it, but it sounds fine now.
Yes, and that's why I would prefer it that you don't delete the meetings off your calendar. I will cancel the FIDWIG meetings if I see fit. In other words, for example, you know, I'm not going to cancel the November meeting now, but as we get closer to November, you know, a week or two prior, if we don't have any big updates, I'll send you all an update, and then I will cancel the meeting so it gets removed from your calendar. And then same with December, we'll keep the meeting standing, and then I will cancel it as I see fit, depending on what we have going on. So I would ask that you don't remove it from your calendar, because then we may end up having to have a meeting, and then you might already have scheduled a different meeting over that time. Make sense? Okay, Melissa, are you good with that idea?
I also defer to Ann.
Okay.
Yes.
ODFW, are you guys good with that idea?
Thanks, Fenton. This is Kelly. That approach makes sense to me.
Good deal. BPA, Dan.
Sorry, I had trouble muting myself. Yeah, it's fine with me. Thank you.
All right. Lawrence for the tribe.
Hey, Fenton. It seems pretty logical to me. I'm good with it.
All right. And we don't have U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but I imagine that Mike is not going to have any heartburn over that, especially since he's got all sorts of meetings scheduled over each other. Okay, so that's the plan. So like I said, I would ask that you don't delete the monthly FIDWIG meetings off of your calendar unless you have a specific reason that you need to delete it. And then I will send the cancellation a week or two prior, starting in November, along with a brief update, you know, hey, we're canceling this meeting because we don't have any updates, or here is a quick update from certain PDTs, and then we'll take it from there. And so right now, that's what it's looking like, is we might cancel the November meeting, but we'll keep the December meeting and talk about Cougar 2.0, keep the January meeting, welcome everybody back from the holidays, talk about Foster Fish Ladder, and then we'll take it from there. All right, so the next, next steps is our meeting for November 3rd, and like I said, I'll let you know a week or so prior if we're going to, because, you know, we never know. We might have a change between now and November. All of a sudden, we might get a sack full of money from Congress and say, start back up these PDTs. I know that sounds wishful thinking, because Congress hasn't even passed a budget as yet. We're in continuing resolution.
I think you're thinking about Santa Claus there.
Yeah. Well, I think they kicked the can down the road with the continuing resolution through December 11th. I like how they picked these dates. I'm sure they have a reason how they picked the dates of how far they extend continuing resolution. It sounds arbitrary, but I'm sure they have a reason why December 11th makes sense. Anyway.
I think they get to meet after that.
Well, it'll be after the elections, too, so that'll be interesting. So I'm glad at least they kicked the can.
Our next meeting would have been on the voting day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So instead of calling into the meeting, go vote. All right, well, we are at the end of the meeting, so before I let everybody go, is there any other questions, thoughts, comments, any last-minute questions for anybody? Anything else you'd like to discuss? Going once, twice, hearing no questions or comments. Well, thank you all for participating today. Have a good rest of your day. It's nice and sunny in Vancouver. Hopefully you're enjoying nice weather, too. I was in the field. Here's a little bit of a fun fact before I close out. I was in the field last week with the P&L researchers at Green Peter Dam. We were installing all the gear for starting up the high-head bypass fish test next week.
And man, oh man, I have to say, I was so excited after being locked up in my house teleworking since beginning of March. It was so relaxing and nice to be out in the field. We worked some long days, but I didn't mind it. The weather was nice. I think our days were in the upper 70s and 80s, sunny. The trees are changing colors. There were probably about 6 or 7 eagles in the Tularosa Green Feeder because kokanee are passing right now and they're passing through the turbine. So there's an all-you-can-eat buffet there. So, yeah, it was really nice. I really enjoyed being back out in the field. So that was my fun excursion last week. All right. Well, have a good rest of the day, everybody.
Bring pictures. Thanks again. Next time.
Who was that, Ann?
Bring pictures next time, Fenton.
Yeah, I will. All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Take care. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
And,
thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.